You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann. It is the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Monday, November 5th, 2018. It's the day before the midterm elections, of course. And I'll be glad when we don't have to have that countdown. I guess I don't have to have it, but we need to have it to be aware of what's going on. The focus of the program today is going to be the final push, or is the final push, to a centralized power. The final push to centralized power or centralized control, because that's what this is all about. That's what we're seeing. Regardless of the topic, you talk about the migrant illegal invasion that we're facing, or what we've seen in the past with respect to the Kavanaugh hearings, the architecture behind that, everything that we're seeing, it all really focuses on Marxism. You've got the religion, not the ideology necessarily, but the religion of Marxism. And from Marxism, we can trace everything that we're seeing happening today on the opposition, or attributed to the opposition, the Marxists. Some say cultural Marxism, which is the cultural side, I guess, a little bit redundant there, of Marxism. But it all goes back to Marxism, and it all goes back to the religion, not ideology, of Marx, and the push toward a collectivist society. That's what's really going on. And that's what we need to focus on. Now, on which we need to focus, or the topic upon which we need to focus, to be grammatically correct. You know, now with respect to the elections, of course, everyone, it's interesting how things are playing out. If you're watching the news media, what you're seeing in the news media is you're seeing the media positing, well, what if... They're coming out with a lot of what-ifs. And this is how, at least historically, this is how I could tell that things are not working out well for them. What if the right, what if the Republicans hold on to the House and the Senate? The Senate is pretty much a given, we think, maybe, but... What if they're coming out with, what about this scenario now? So you can tell that there is a deep concern among Democrats. And folks, I hope I don't have to make this disclaimer all of the time. I understand the uniparty, the globalists. I get that the Republican Democrat is a meme that's really kind of gone. But at this point, when we speak about elections, we have to speak Republican and Democrat, because that's the language of our voting system. So let's just to be clear, it's not that, because I do understand about the globalists, I understand about the rhinos, I understand about the, I get all of that. But again, we have to speak the language of our voting system, and that's Democrat versus Republican. And in this case, I would say it's more Marxist versus constitutionalists. And on the left, you've got this final push. This is their final. My goodness, we've got to overtake the House. We've got to put Pelosi back as Speaker, or something to that effect, of course. And we've got to immediately stop the investigations. We'll start impeachment proceedings. We've got to re-implement the control over the health care, over immigration, over all of these various socialist, Marxist ideas. But this is a religion to them. This is not merely in an ideology. This is a religion to them. I guess I'm a little bit off today, because coming in this morning to the studio, my goodness, it's dark out there. I mean, really dark. Anyway, no, that's not a metaphor. I'm saying it's dark. Even Lady's not, the studio dog, she's a little bit messed up by the time change, of course, and I've got her on a pretty strict schedule when I feed her, of course, you know, and when, but anyway, she seems a little bit out of sorts because of the time change. But anyway, so when you look at who is, okay, so let's look at tomorrow's elections. Let's look at who is really pushing the blue wave scenario. The people who are pushing the blue wave scenario, in my view anyway, are the people who sorely lost, or those who can't believe they lost back in 2016. There was a column in American Thinker by Clarice Feldman published yesterday. The title of that column was Tuesday Will Tell, Blue Wave or Red Tsunami. And from that, of course, there were a couple of good pieces of information there, referencing some good pieces of information. Of course, the media, major media, is uniformly opposed to Donald Trump, to conservatives, to the party of conservatives. But their sway in polls, well, based on polls, their sway on voters appears to be less than the major mainstream media mouthpieces want you to believe. Now, from that article, just briefly, the majority of voters believe that the media is more interested in creating controversies about candidates than reporting where they stand on issues. And that's very true. And voters also think that the media is trying to help the Democrats in the upcoming elections, which, yeah, that's kind of a given. When you look at the end of last week at President Trump's job approval rating, it stands at 51%. And that scares the living daylights out of the left, the Marxist left. 43% of all voters are saying that the country is headed in the proper direction. Now, when you compare that to Obama's, during Obama's last year in the Oval Office, that number was in the upper 20s. So right now, 43% voters saying the country's headed in the proper direction versus the final weeks in office of Obama during that last year. That's upper 20s in the percentile range. And Charles V. Payne on Twitter wrote, well, monster job report. A quarter of a million jobs, 32,000 manufacturing, 30,000 construction, 5,000 mining, 24,800 transportation and warehousing, wages soaring 3.1%, which said, of course, the previous regime said that was impossible. That kind of says it all. Now, you may ask, well, wait a minute, we're not really talking. I mean, why waste your time on this? And I totally understand this, but this is part of a larger issue. And again, I go back to the issue of the push for collectivism, the push for Marxism in this country. It's never been greater. And the elections, look at it this way. The elections, in my view, they're the hinge moment. That's the operative moment for the Marxists to legally regain control. Over the House and over the legislative body, but equally important, and people aren't talking much about this, equally important that are the state races for governor and for even some county and local races. Because the money from Soros, the money from Open Society, the money from the left Marxist the Marxist religion is being poured into various races that include, for example, the judiciary races for judgeships, where they're elected. You've got money being poured into sheriff's races. You've got money being poured into local races backing Marxists or those who are very much a part of this collective mentality, this collectivist mentality, or this centralized control. Now, here's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing President Donald Trump flying around the country, just a rigorous punishing schedule where he's drawing huge crowds everywhere. People who wait for hours in line to get in. We saw this here in Erie, and you see it everywhere. And then you look at the opposing team, the Marxist, and you don't see that. Although the media wants you to, they attempt to fashion their shots to make it look like, you know, the crowds are there. And I know this because I watched this happen with a walkaway march. It's interesting because I saw the walkaway march, by the way, was not reported in the mainstream media. But there were people there who were taking pictures of the stragglers as opposed to the main people. I mean, it's all a head game. It's all a fake. So, but back to the point here. We are looking at polls, for example, that are attempting to sell the idea for the conservatives to stay home, or it's you know, you got one of two things going on. You got the polls, and you got people out there saying, you know what, don't even bother going to the, don't bother to vote. It's a lost cause. The blue wave, it's a done deal. And then you've got the other side of things where they're saying, okay, you know what, you've got to go, pushing the blue. And I guess what I'm saying is you've got the, it's a heads, I win, tails, you lose kind of scenario. And the media is behind that. I'm not going to get into the explanation, but you understand what I'm talking about. But a couple of things that are playing heavily into this, of course, into this collectivism idea, the religion of Marxism. Look back over the last couple of weeks. You had that the Mickey Mouse bomb plot. You had the Kavanaugh accusations. And now you've got really the biggest threat to our nation at this point is the alien invasion, which is part, a great part of this Marxist religious ideology that traces back to the United Nations, which goes back to this one world governance, which is a collective governance. So this all ties together. But think back too. Okay, so, and it's hard to keep up with the news. I understand this, man. I've got notes upon notes. The Patriot meeting we had last night. Man, you know what? Joe, well, actually, Eric, after we had that Patreon meeting, said you didn't bother to clean up your office, you know, for that meeting. Papers everywhere. I mean, I've got notes, and I take notes all of the time. And that, of course, goes back to my days as an investigator, because you just take notes, detailed notes of everything. And it's organized, but it doesn't look organized. So, and I apologize if my office was messy. And by the way, folks, to those listening who don't know what I'm referring to when I said about the Patreon meeting, hey, we know what? We'd like you to help us out, to support us. We have a Patreon account. I guess that's how you call it, what you call it, where you can, different levels, for example, there's things that you're able to engage in with us. For example, at a certain level, you can, every once a month, we have a meeting of all of our supporters. It's a video meeting, and we just talk about things that are important to you. And we attempt to, respond, on behalf of you. And we have got a forum that I'm just going to be putting the pedal to the metal to really put a lot of proprietary information in there for those people who support us. Now, that's not to say that if you don't support us, we're not going to give you information. It's just something a little bit extra for those people who do support us. So if you can see to it, we ask you that you support us financially, because right now we are in the war, in an epic battle, and we are fighting this war. I mean, we're on the front lines. I believe we are anyway. If we're not, man, I don't know. If we're not on the front lines, I don't know how to describe it, because it's a pretty doggone vicious area in which we find ourselves. I mean, we're being shadow banned, censored in many platforms. The lawfare is kicking into high gear. So many incoming missiles and mortar attacks, metaphorically speaking, of course. We're looking at having to broadcast in a manner, for example, that as we move up to hook into the White House and to video some things from the White House and that press pool. Of course, we have to have the equipment that is compatible with that, and that's not a cheap date. So all of this combined, it would help us out. So thank you in advance, and that hopefully that gives you a little bit of an explanation as to what I just referenced. But anyway, back to the topic here. When you look back at it, over the last few weeks into the few months, a lot of things have happened, not the least of which, again, I mentioned the Kavanaugh accusations, which really was a Marxist, cultural Marxist approach, which was designed to appeal primarily to women voters, which failed miserably. Okay, it failed miserably, and it backfired. Now, when a plan goes in, when you've got a Marxist regime or a Marxist movement, and they put a lot of eggs in the basket of the anti-Kavanaugh movement, and that backfires. Man, okay, so they've got to regroup, and they double down elsewhere. Well, this is what we're seeing right now, doubling down with the illegal alien caravan. They're running out of options. The Marxist minions of chaos are running out of options. And they are faced now with a loss at the polls tomorrow. But again, please don't take my words and say, well, if they're going to lose, I don't have to vote, because you need to vote in order to make sure that they lose handily. And then you've got other movements related to the Me Too, which relates to Kavanaugh. You got the Blexit movement, which is a movement by black voters to leave the Democratic Party. You got the walk away. You had the Kavanaugh Me Too. You had the walk away. Then you've got Blexit, which is, again, the movement by black voters to leave the Democratic Party, which is growing, by the way. And that's really frightening the Marxist, the people on the left. Black approval rating for President Trump is now above 40%, I believe 41%, which is just driving them nuts. And again, so when you look at the news, or even the media, media on the internet, and who is really behind this blue wave scenario? Again, I go back to the people who wanted to see Obama's third term in the form of Hillary Clinton, and they can't believe they lost, but they did. So now they believe in their heart of hearts that, okay, the only way that we're going to legally nullify this conservative constitutional movement is to retake the House, and immediately upon doing so, become obstructionists even more than they are now. And of course, the votes, by the way, the margin is slim, I guess, even today. But they want to make it, of course, in their favor. So they want to be the party of obstructionists, not ideas. And they will push and are pushing for this collectivist ideology. That's their end game. Just so you know, the end game is to establish a collectivist centralized power system, power structure that's Marxist, that's on par with Marxist ideology. And again, it's a religion to them. It's not an ideology, I guess. I say ideology because that people can really relate to that, as opposed to a religion, which is their religion, as opposed to Christianity. And so anyway, a couple of important items here that I just, that's referenced in the article I referenced in American Thinker, but also it's been verified that more people have been showing up for early voting. In fact, the early voting in 2018 has outpaced the 2014 midterms. A whopping 24,621 ballots, okay? 24 million, I think I said that wrong, 24,621 ballots have been counted. And by comparison, for example, in 2014, you had half that, roughly 13 million or 12,938,596. So it's double the number of early voters. So who does that benefit? According to NBC, Republicans are currently up by a 2-point lead. Can we believe these polls? Absolutely not. So generally speaking, early voting benefits the left, but hey, you can't believe anything you see, anything you read at this point, even in the alternative media. And I said something last night during this. When I say alternative media, you've got to be very careful in discerning who you listen to and who you watch, because there are a lot of times very well-intentioned people come out with information that's not correct. As a matter of fact, not too long ago, there's a picture of a bloodied Mexican or a bloodied police officer from Mexico, Federale, from Mexico. And the headline was, well, this is the violence at the southern Mexican border about the caravan. Well, that picture was dated. It was a couple of years old. It wasn't current. Now, that does not make the underlying article or story false, but it creates or opens the door to ridicule, and righteously so, by the left, saying, you know what, that's a fake picture. Well, that happened a number of years ago. It didn't happen just now, but that does not negate the violence that is actually taking place. So we have to be kind of very careful in terms of what we use, what we retweet, what we send, just to make sure that we're on the proper side. That's all. So, and that happens more frequently than you might want to believe, which gives the right-wing watch sites or Snopes sites, even though most people disregard that as BS, we understand that, but it gives them a leg up on things. And, you know, it's like, okay, see, it's not really happening. Well, it is happening. Sorry, wrong picture. Correct headline, correct information, just the wrong image. It was a dated image. But there's more of this going on. But anyway, back to the collectivist ideology, the religion of Marxism, which is propelling exactly what we're seeing today. I want to get deep into this. Now, if it seems like I'm bouncing around a little bit, hang with me, because I'm going to tie everything up at the end here. But I want to go back to 2009, kind of lay the foundation of what we're seeing today. Author and commentator Mark Stein, I don't know if you've heard him before, listened to him before, but he summarized, there are four distinct stages to the loss of freedom, at least in a free society in our country. Stage one is that the government takes over health care. Once this occurs, the government can justify almost any restraint on freedom, including regulating who receives that health care. If the state cures you, it has a vested interest in preventing your needing treatment in the first place. So, four stages, Mark Stein, to the loss of freedom. Number one, government takes over healthcare. Number two, government increasingly regulates personal behavior. Since the state guarantees all of your basic needs, it's increasingly comfortable with regulating your behavior. Now, we see this in the blue states especially. The third stage, luring people into becoming wards of the state. What I mean by that, once they are dependent, once a person becomes dependent through ill-named entitlement programs, because there is no such thing as an entitlement, no one's entitled to anything, but you get that idea with that language. It's only a matter of degree to begin regulating their thoughts as well as their behavior. Think about that in terms of the censorship or big tech control of speech. And the fourth and final stage, you control dissenting ideas and words by declaring them hate speech or politically incorrect. Okay. Four stages to the loss of freedom. Let me just go over them real quickly. Government takes over healthcare. Government regulates your personal behavior is two. Number three, people become wards of the state, dependent upon the state. And the fourth is controlling dissenting ideas and words by declaring them hate speech or politically incorrect. So how correct is this, or how on target is this? You go back to, and Paul McGuire talks about this, Aldous Huxley, in his revised 1947 foreword to the book Brave New World. Well, he was not optimistic about the future toward which this yellow brick road was leading. We're talking about centralization of power, control of power, totalitarianism. Aldous Huxley said, it seems quite possible that the horror of totalitarianism could be upon us within a century. We've only got two alternatives to choose from. Either a number of national, militarized totalitarianisms having their root, having as their root the terror of the atomic bomb. And now remember, at that time, 1947, and as their consequence, the destruction of civilization, or else one supranational totalitarianism called into existence by social chaos resulting from rapid technological progress in general and the atomic revolution in particular, and developing under the need for efficiency and stability into the welfare tyranny of utopia. Now, that was a mouthful. If you didn't follow that, I understand. This is Aldous Huxley from 1947. We're talking about collectivism. Started out the program by calling this collectivism, calling this centralization, because that is the beast that the Marxist left is pushing. The O'Rourkes, the Gillums, the Cortez, even as bumbling as she might be, and even the current people, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Biden, they're pushing for this collectivist utopia, this actually a communist utopia. That's what's at stake in this election. Now, bear with me as I kind of toss out a number of seemingly disparate thoughts here, but they will be connected here, I promise, by the end of the program. Consider a statement by a spokesman for Adolf Hitler, Alfred Rocco. He said this: society is the end, individuals the means. Okay? And its whole life consists of using individuals for its social ends. What the heck does that mean? Society is the end, individuals the means, and its whole life consists of using individuals for its social ends. That's from Hitler spokesman Alfred Rocco. Think about that seemingly random comment here that I tossed in, but look at the illegal invasion that we're seeing. Right now we've got a growing mainstream sentiment in the United States that was nurtured by Obama, especially, and cultivated as well by Hillary Clinton and all of the people that support those two, primarily those two, that they seem obsessed with putting people, putting the individual back into this herd, with government regulating all personal behavior, protecting us from every type of potential catastrophe, either real or imagined, even protecting us from ourselves, and taking care of us from daycare to old age. And what we find today as well, and this is where Marxism kind of branches off into a cultural Marxism. There is a distinction and a difference here, but it's part and parcel. Cultural Marxism is a subset of Marxism. You'll hear the terms used interchangeably. However, I think it's best to understand the difference. But anyway, Marxism, cultural Marxism, when you look at our cultural foundations, they are under attack, our institutions. We're seeing this de-evolution along the line of some kind of apocalyptic novel. But we're seeing the social, moral, and economic dry rot that is actually pushing us toward chaos and ruination. A survey of the breakdown of American institutions toward collectivism, it can be a very disconcerting and troubling glimpse into the future of democracy. Well, of our constitutional republic, to be more accurate. Democracy is fine, I suppose, in that respect, but we're talking about a representative republic, constitutional republic. And the de-evolution or descent of free men. Now, let me quote a Bible passage here, Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that's what we're seeing today. I've got to tell you, we're seeing that happen today, and it's biblical in nature. And people just go nuts when I quote Bible scripture. Of course, I'm not a minister or pastor, but you know what we're seeing happen today is biblical in its epic proportions here, I believe. But what do we have with? So I mentioned the transformation of our culture and our institutions. What has immigration done to transform America's culture and institutions, I ask you? Because what we're seeing now is this invasion from the South. This overt invasion, this invading army, they carry the flag of their own country or countries, and they're coming into the United States. We talk about this, obviously, and you hear about this on the news, but rarely, in my view, rarely do people, the talking heads, the political pundits on television, even Sean Hannity or whoever it might be, they don't dig down deep into what's really taking place. I mean, they give appropriate lip service, I believe, to the issue with the time they've got, but they don't dig deep into what's really taking place here, and that is the attempted transformation of our culture, the rending of our moral fabric of this country. That's what's really at stake here. It is a Marxist-Leninist push, and we need to understand that immigration, and I'm going to tell you about immigration here momentarily, what it's done to the United States of America, to our nation, to our country, to the moral and Judeo-Christian ethic of our country. And this is by design. The invasion that we see right now, that's only the final optic push. That's designed. There's a couple of reasons for that, in my view. What we're seeing, the multiple hordes of people that are pushing to the southern border, I believe has got a number of different objectives here. Obviously, create some really bad optics once they get to the border. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to see pictures of women and children being manhandled, or you're going to see the worst of the worst optics, but it's all by design because they're gaming us. That's a given. We understand that. You understand that. So why waste time talking about that? What's really behind this? When you start looking at who's funding this, and it's very murky, very cloudy, one obvious source, George Soros, yes, but there's more. And once we follow the money and identify the people behind this invasion, things become much clearer. But bear in mind that out of all of the headlines, everything that we're facing today, this invasion is a big part of this push toward this collectivism, this centralized power structure, because it is part of a UN agenda. It is part of the Marxist agenda. It is part of a communist collectivist utopia. Now, I know I've talked about this on our flagship show, The Hagmann Report, and I can't remember if I've spoken about this, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but it does bear repeating, because what we're seeing, and I've spoken to Brigitte Gabriel. She's written a book called Rise, and I've spoken to her spoken to her personally, and her knowledge, herself being an immigrant, a legal immigrant into the United States, is a great story in and of itself. But she writes in her book, Rise, about replacement civilization. Now, you've heard me talk about that on our flagship show. I'm not sure if I've mentioned it in depth here on the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour, but this is what this is all about, the fundamental transformation of our society. And folks, it does not happen overnight. It didn't happen just under Obama. It's really been in the works for the last century. half a century if you want to get very particular. But anyway, the larger the population and the more embedded the values within that population, such as that with the United States, the longer it takes to change the foundation of that, of our society. But the fundamental transformation of the United States, again, has been underway for at least a half a century. And we can already see, right now, we can see the consequences of that fundamental transformation being pushed by those people in favor of a communist, collectivist, centralized power utopia. The very people who are running in the elections in the on the blue side of things that we're going to be voting on tomorrow in the United States. Now, people will say, well, we're a nation of immigrants. And this is the tagline today. Well, we're a nation of immigrants. Folks, that's not true. No. Listen to me. America is a nation of citizens who welcome immigrants that come in this country legally and assimilate to the benefit of the citizens here. You see the difference? America is a nation of citizens, not immigrants. So stop it, to the people on the left. Citizenship is what every immigrant, every person coming to this country should want and aspire to. And assimilation, the same. The assimilation into the fabric of our Western society. Okay, it's not what, so we're not seeing that with the legal immigrants that have come to this country since 1965. I'm going to tell you about this here because, folks, you've got to know the history. And I know most of you do. But for those, for the benefit of those just tuning into this program, this will be good to hear and to understand. Again, we are not a nation of immigrants. We're a nation of citizens. We are a nation of citizens. We welcome immigrants that come in this country legally, but we also require the assimilation of those immigrants in order to benefit those already here and, frankly, to benefit them as well. Keith Hansen says, you can't bring there here, because when you do bring there here, here becomes there. That's what the collectivist communist utopia mentality, the Marxist religion, is all about. It's about balkanizing our country to divide it and then overtake it, subjugate it to a greater collectivist control. That's what's really on tomorrow. That's what we are voting on. And the Robert Francis O'Rourkes of the world and the Gillums of the world and of this country, they're bowing down to their god of collectivist, socialist, Marxist ideology. We can't have that. So hopefully I made sense in that aspect of things. But I want to touch, too, contrary to what you might have heard, really from the late 1800s, our immigration system had limits. And starting in 1921, it had quotas. Now think about this. Right now, the quota system is gone. It's in the dustbin of, ashbin of history. But in that we can thank a very disastrously destructive piece of legislation that was passed in order to fundamentally change the demographic makeup of the United States without any regard for assimilation or mutually beneficial arrangements. Go back to the 1965 Immigration Act, because the 1965 Immigration Act removed the national origin quota system. Yes, we had quotas. Yes, we had absolute quotas, and we had limits up until 1965. 1965 Immigration Act removed the national origin quota system. It opened the floodgates that are still open today. It provided preference to refugees and immigrants who were family members of United States citizens. And that was the beginning of the effort to diversify America. And that began, it marked the initiation of tolerance over common sense. And again, I defer to Brigitte Gabriel in her book, Rise. I think it's a great book. It talks about this, at least from an Islamic standpoint. But when you look at this in total, this is what's taking place. So post-1965 arrivals into the United States, and I don't care if you're listening to this in the UK or in somewhere in Europe, Western Europe, westernized countries in Europe, it's the same for you. Dates, legislation different, but it's the same. But here in the United States, after subsequent to the 1965 Immigration Act, the arrivals consisted of this wider mix of people seeking, seeking just to get here. It didn't matter about, you know, what they could do for the United States. It's just to get here, establish a beachhead, and effectively balkanize the United States. And I would submit to you that it was the Immigration Act of 1965. It is the very reason today when you pick up the phone, you know, press 1 for Spanish, press 1 for English. We've got to go through that, because what was a quota system, what was limits, what was a common sense approach to who can come in this country was tossed out with that piece of legislation. And if you know what, if you want examples of this, you can see examples. One of the biggest examples of this balkanization created by this 1965 Immigration Act, and then really accelerated under Obama and even globalist George W. Bush, just for crying out loud, go to Minnesota. All right, in Minnesota, just for example, you've got the largest Somali population in the country. And law enforcement in Minnesota, they've struggled for years to combat the recruitment of Somalians, especially Somalian men, by ISIS. And just go there. And imagine, by the way, around Minneapolis, there's an area around Minneapolis that's called Little Mogadishu. Okay, because of the concentration of Somalians. Now, I'm not picking on Somalians. I'm giving you an example of the balkanization of America caused by the 65 Immigration Act that removed the quotas and removed the limits on who could come into this country legally now, okay? So you've got this largest group of Somalians settling into an area around Minneapolis dubbed Little Mogadishu. How would you like to, now let me ask you this, how would you like to live in Little Mogadishu, considering what the real Mogadishu in Somalia is like? I don't think you'd like that. I mean, Mogadishu is the capital of Somalia, which, by the way, is a country where residents, believe it or not, their medical cures, their residents pay hundreds of dollars to sit in a room with a live hyena, believing that the hyena will cure them of drug addiction by scaring away demons inside. Okay, that's what we're looking at. Okay, and then you've got the economic status of Minnesota's Somalia refugees, which the unemployment is just so much higher, the median household income lower. I can go on and on, but you get the idea. And then, of course, the diseases that are associated with this. And the cultural change. Remember, I was talking about the cultural Marxism. Well, as a result of this as well, consider this. And again, Ms. Gabriel speaks about this or writes about this in her book. But consider this. Consider that you have to undergo an operation. And culture of a Muslim, for example, in Minnesota, dictates that a surgeon must wear they've got to wear like their head thing. It's unsanitary, but you can't complain about it because that's politically incorrect. You see where I'm going with all of this? It's the rending, it's the ripping, it's the tearing of our moral and cultural fabric. But even in that case, more importantly, it's the tossing out of common sense altogether. So anyway, I just wanted to just toss that example out if you really need an example. So back to the caravan, the Cloward Piven caravan, as Reagan Babe had mentioned on our show, and it's on the Hagman Report Twitter. I think it's a 1 minute, it's like 59 second piece, or two, maybe it's a 2 minute piece. Yeah, I believe it's 2 minutes, about the Cloward Piven caravan. Well, the look at Europe, the clash of cultures in Europe and across the Western world. This is taking place at an alarming rate. Now, people are starting to wake up in the West, but many people in the West have been stunned by the difference that exists between them and the third world nations. And I don't care if it's a Muslim third world nation or a Central American third world nation, but the push right now is for these aliens, this alien invasion. There is a concerted push to bring them into this country by any means necessary. And the effect, yeah, people will say, well, they're the future Democratic voters. Yeah, they are. But it's more than that. It's not just to win power. It's to destroy our representative republic. And again, this goes back to the final push to a consolidated or a centralized power and a centralized control. That's the objective here. It wouldn't be complete if I wouldn't mention the Brian Stelters and even the Geraldo Riveras and even the Shepard Smiths of the world of the media. They spread, in my view, falsehoods about how America is America because we accept anyone from anywhere at any time, and we don't expect anything in return for our openness and generosity. Well, that's just outright false. This country, America, is America because it serves as a beacon of light to the rest of the world. And how we got to be that beacon of light is by the common sense approach, not by acquiescing to this centralized power or the UN thrust of the UN mandate that we must take everybody. No. America has a role in this world, and we've played a role in this world, and we're seeing it now. I mean, we lead in innovation. We lead in a number of things. You know, progress, of course, innovation of whether it's food production, manufacturing, whatever. We've always led the world. Why? Because of the unique American exceptionalism that President Donald Trump espouses. And the left, because of their final push toward this collectivist ideology, they hate this. They cannot stand the spotlight being shown upon this Marxist ideology. Consider the numbers, I guess, because there's so much to this. If most Americans, if people were honest and we knew just how many immigrants, and I'm talking illegal as well as legal, that our country has taken in over the last 50 years, people would be marching on Washington in droves. Okay, before 1965, again, immigration generally worked to the benefit of Americans. But that all changed with the Immigration Act of 65, when the Marxist Democratic politicians came up with a scheme to change the demographics of the United States to electorally favor the Democratic Party. At least that was the bill. At least that was the bill of sale. That's how it was sold. The Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965, for those people looking or wanting the source, it's H.R. 2580. Okay, enacted June 30th, 1968, also known as the Hart-Celler Act. That's H-A-R-T-C-E-L-L-A-R, Hart-Celler Act. It eliminated quotas and the concept of quotas and the concept of common sense that had been in place really for that previous 100 years or so. And this was the brainchild of Representative Emanuel Celler of New York. He sponsored the bill in the House of Representatives, and Senator Philip Hart of Michigan, he sponsored it in the Senate. And, of course, you got Teddy Kennedy in there of Massachusetts. He bent over backwards to help promote it. And by removing the concept of national quotas, the bill significantly and intentionally transformed the demographic makeup of the U.S. forever. Press one for English. That's right. The law itself changed the order of preference for, among other things, for visa categories to one that focused on family relationships with citizens or U.S. residents rather than the skills that had previously taken precedent in visa decisions. And that's what opened the floodgates to the concept of chain migration that you hear about today. Okay. And this was the brainchild, in my view, of the Marxist-Leninist ideologues back in the 60s. Now, they were called just merely Democrats. But think about the numbers. America's foreign-born population in 1965. Now, think about this. Ready? In 1965, America's foreign-born population stood at 9.6 million. How many people we have in our country right now? What, 300 and some? Well, okay. 9.6 million American foreign-born population, 1965. We'll call it 10 million people, 1965. In 2015, 4.5 times that, 45 million. The nation's foreign-born population has more than quadrupled from 9.6 million in 1965 to 45 million in 2015. And according to Pew Research, immigrants and their descendants accounted for 72 million in population growth between 65 and 2015. Now, if you want to plot this trend out, if it continues this way, immigrants and their descendants are projected to account for almost 90% of the U.S. population growth by 2065. Hey, that's within eyesight here of where I sit here in 2018. And one more thing. We hear these lectures by these the media people. Despite the lectures about our racist intolerance from these PC globalist elitists, the United States, has the largest immigrant population. And we ain't done, or they ain't done. 1 in 5 of the world's immigrants live in the U.S. 1 in 5 of the world's immigrants live in the United States. Our foreign-born population since 1965, again, has gone from 5% to 14% today. And it's going to push to a record almost 20% in 2065. Don't be fooled. Do not be fooled by the Marxist lies out there about how this immigration explosion has always been the norm. Oh, we've always had it. We've always welcomed. Look at the Statue of Liberty. We've always welcomed the immigrants. No, we haven't. Between 1840 and 1889, 14.3 million immigrants arrived in the U.S. Now, again, 49 years, okay? These are important numbers. Between 1840 and 1889, 14.3 million immigrants arrived in the United States. Now, what happened between 1890 and 1919, which is what, 29 years? That rose to 18.2 million. Time-wise, that's double, basically. More importantly, the immigrants America has been taking before 1965 were overwhelmingly from countries far more compatible with Western culture or their moral and religious beliefs. Not today. You know, and I'm going to toss a side note here. At the time, the first World Trade Center bombing, remember that, 1993? What was it? What was the population of U.S. Muslims or Muslims here in the United States? It was 1 million. Subsequent to that 1993 World Trade Center bombing, subsequent to 1993, the Muslim population has more than tripled. We've got almost 4 million Muslims here in the United States. And that's how we respond to acts of terror? I'm just saying. All right, but when we look at the alien invasion, the word refugees kind of comes to people talk about refugees. Well, refugees have had a dramatic effect on immigration, and especially Islamic immigration into the U.S. over the past several decades. The U.S. has resettled far more refugees than any other country, about 3 million since 1980, despite the ongoing lectures of about our intolerance from CNN. And between 82 and 2016, 70% of the world's refugees resettled in the United States. That's more than two-thirds of the refugees in the entire world. And that's the Marxist ideology at work or at play here in the U.S. And I just lastly here to wrap things up, you look at the alien invasion to our south, all right? Who's funding this? When you look at historically these refugees coming into the United States, you've got a number of non-governmental organizations working closely with the government. For example, there's a Refugee Resettlement Watch out there. They published a fact sheet naming some of the federal contractors getting paid to drop thousands of unvetted refugees into the United States, and especially with special consideration to Muslim refugees. But that aside, let's look at them. Church World Service. Acronym CWS, Ethiopian Community Development Council, Episcopal Migration Ministries, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, International Rescue Community, U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, and of course the World Relief Corporation. Out of those nine I mentioned, six are religious organizations. They're doing much more than passing the collection plates, on Sunday morning, because they've collected more than $1 billion annually to resettle refugees. This is big business. They're getting some of it from the Treasury Department, meaning you and I are the taxpayer. Those contractors, those nine I mentioned, work with 350 subcontractors to resettle unvetted refugees anywhere within a 100-mile radius of the contractor's location. So this is how we got Little Somalia, for example. And by the way, the refugee gets a one-time payment in certain cases of $2,125 per person. Of which the contractor receives $1,000 to keep for themselves. That's why this is big business. So money is driving this. Now, refugees and asylum seekers, as we're seeing, they can be eligible for all federal, state, and local welfare, from Medicaid to public housing to child care and so on. But you get the idea, right? So here's just tying it up here in the last minute. Tomorrow's election is all about whether we continue with the fundamental change of the United States, rending the moral, cultural fabric of this country through this blue wave, or we enlist the common sense approach of the Donald Trump presidency and those people who support him, and put limits on everything, stop the invasion of the United States, and go back and reject the collectivist system that is nothing but Marxist-Leninist at its core. That's what this is all about. Boy, I hope you got something out of this. If you like what you heard, please share this on social media. Doug Hagman Radio Show. Boy, thank you so much for inviting me into your car, your home, where you work. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great Monday.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.